The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 27th of November, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Let's start the show with our Sand Dollar Live read, and then we're going to get right to it. We're giving away sand dollars again. Every week, six listeners can win 30 digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider. Include wallet provider and custom name in texts. Download a digital wallet right now because every Tuesday and Thursday, you can be a winner. Joining us in studio today is a representative from Equality Bahamas. And we've got lots to talk about this morning. Did you know Saturday, the 25th of November, is the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women? And to bring it closer to home, yesterday, Sunday, the 26th of November, 2023, was the anniversary of women's suffrage in the Bahamas, and Sunday marked the beginning of National Women's Week. We have a full week from Sunday the 26th of November to Saturday the 2nd of December, a full week of activities under the theme Accelerating Equity, Equality, and Empowerment of Women and Girls. One moment, producer, is my Zoom room guest in? Okay, good morning. Just as we start the show, I want to say to you guys, we haven't talked politics yet. I know by-election talk was heavy last week. I'll pick it up this week. There's lots to talk about, and I didn't want to rush it. I didn't want to rush it last week with a number of guests that we had. Also, just before we start the show, I want to say I see the stories in today's paper, in Friday's paper, and we're going to touch on as many of them as possible throughout this week, including this article. Henfield says DeSantis remarks distasteful. It turns out that DeSantis has used the Bahamas once again as an example in this hypothetical scenario. I definitely want to talk about this because I want to know, where is the budget for rockets? I didn't even know we had a budget for rockets. What does DeSantis know that we don't know, or better yet, what does DeSantis not know? Now, that's the most important part of the conversation, people. What does DeSantis not know that may be prompting him to make these wild and reckless statements? We're going to get into all of that as the week unfolds. Maybe if I have a little extra time in today's conversations, we could switch to that. But again, Saturday, the 25th of November, was the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. And yesterday marked the anniversary of women's suffrage in the Bahamas, which marked universal suffrage. It meant that everybody had the right to vote. Men, women, formerly enslaved people, we all had the right to vote. But let's get to the show. I want to say good morning to my guest, Lauren Glinton from Equality Bahamas. She's joining us via Zoom. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Erin. How are you?
I am a good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Absolutely. I'm going to let you take the floor to start the show. If there's any, I have lots to say, lots of information about the 16 Days of Activism Global Campaign surrounding International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. But I'd like to let you sort of set the frame for the conversation.
So, thank you so much for having us on the show. You always make space for us to raise awareness about our work, and we really appreciate that. So as you mentioned, we are currently in the Global 16 Days of Activism campaign, which is, you know, a campaign that was started in 1991 at the Center for Women's Global Leadership. Mm-hmm. And this 16-day period starts on November 25th, International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, and ends on December 10th, International Human Rights Day. So it's always that same 16-day period every year. And as part of our strategy to help end gender-based violence, we participate in this campaign with a number of events that, you know, we turned virtual at the beginning of the pandemic back in 2020. But we have a good mix of events that are informative, events that, you know, engage local and international activists, as well as events that make space for, you know, self-care and time to kind of decompress, because it is difficult to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that people are preserving their energy and preserving their capacity to do this work. So we are looking forward to, you know, rolling out our events. We have a conversation with Sonia Farmer at 3 p.m. this afternoon to chat about Poinciana Paper Press's recent call for works. They are interested in publishing an anthology, is what they're calling it. And basically, it's a collection of works that makes visible the realities of the Bahamas that we maybe usually don't want to talk about, works that imagine an alternative to the way that we live now. So we just want to amplify her call for this work. So we're having a chat with her today at 3. And then later tonight...
Now, is that a virtual event, or is that in person?
Yeah, that's virtual. So we're going to be live streaming to our Facebook. So definitely follow us on Facebook if you don't already. We have a ton of information there about all of the events for 16 days, as well as just our work throughout the year. So if you want to join that conversation to learn more about the call for works, join us on Facebook at 3 o'clock.
And again, the theme for the publication is Anthology. Again, it's for all of the critical work and assessment that normally doesn't rise to the surface in our public discourse, right?
That's right.
The things that we think are not sufficiently sanitized. They're too dirty. You know, we don't want to expose those parts of ourselves individually and collectively. These are the types of conversations and interrogations that we're looking for.
Exactly right, Erin.
Absolutely. Now, you have a full list of events. Let's start by telling people how to register for the events. I know you did that. Let's do it again. And then I want to go through the events, because these events are excellent. I mean, they're awesome. And I think people would love to partake in them and would have greater ease because the events are virtual this year, right?
Yes. So we have a full calendar of events available at tiny.cc/16days23. Mm-hmm. So if you type that in, you will get access to a Google Doc that has all of the information for our upcoming sessions. And you can register at all of the links that are linked next to each session. Mm-hmm. So we have a virtual event tonight on Zoom with
Fran Dillett and Noelle Nichols.
And that one is just going to be focused on a CEDAW training that they completed in the fall. The training was hosted by Women's Human Rights Institute at the University of Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to, you know, share their reflections on this training because 2023 marks the 30th year since the Bahamas ratified the Convention on the Elimination of Violence Against Women, Discrimination Against Women, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last year, we actually had a special CEDAW series where we highlighted different articles per month to raise awareness of what's included in that convention and what the Bahamas has agreed to uphold in terms of, you know, making progress towards eliminating discrimination against women. So we're really excited to hear from Fran and Noel about how their training was.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow...
But let me add, I want to say to people who are interested in this work, CEDAW, the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, or people who are in this field, in this space, and they don't agree with the work that advocates are doing on the ground, I invite you to tune into this event so that you can inform yourselves and learn about the convention. So when you engage in conversations to oppose the work, you understand the convention that you're challenging, right? That you understand the language that is being used. Because a lot of people who say that they are opposed to women's rights or the advocacy that takes place, you also quickly realize that they don't understand that thing that they are opposing. And so that they would have a better representation and we would have better conversations if everyone understood the document that drives the advocacy. So I invite people who say, I don't agree with what y'all are doing. I invite you to tune in and participate respectfully so you could build your capacity to continue that conversation. Thank you, Lauren. Let's continue.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for saying that, because I think it is important to be open-minded and be willing to, you know, get educated on the issue before mm-hmm. forming an opinion. Because, you know, the reminder that we always like to make is that when it comes to conventions like these, our government has an obligation, right? They've basically entered into an agreement by signing the convention mm-hmm. to say that they are willing to work towards the goals and, you know, all of the objectives outlined in the convention. So mm-hmm. We're advocating for this work because the government already said that they intend to do it. You know, it's not as if it's...
proposal.
Yeah, it's not a proposal. It's something that was ratified 30 years ago. And mm-hmm. so we want to see more progress.
Right. And if you think the advocacy that's taking place right now is not sufficient, right? It's not enough. It doesn't capture all the areas that you think it should capture. Or it's being read incorrectly. Get involved so that you can propel the proponents of the work that are important to you.
Exactly. There's so many ways to get involved, and there are many different roles to play in activism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people have amazing capacity to participate in demonstrations and, you know, get out in the streets, while other people, you know, they're better off being in the room with their family and having uncomfortable conversations. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a role for everyone to play when it comes to activism and movement building, and each role is important. It's critical.
Right. Now, there's an event taking place tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for the People, Human Rights Law, that features a gender activist and human rights lawyer from South Africa. And you're going to be talking about the right of women to work in just and favorable conditions, the right of women to have access to adequate housing, land and tenure security, and the right of women to be free from violence, which seems it's at 10 a.m. in the morning. And we can link to that conversation through your Facebook page, right?
Yes. So this is another conversation that we'll, you know, be having on Zoom, but live streaming to our Facebook. So definitely join us at 10 a.m. on Facebook tomorrow if you want to hear from Prishi from South Africa. This is going to be a really interesting conversation because she actually works at a legal center that is a non-for-profit, which is something that we don't see in the Bahamas, right? Like, we don't have law firms that are not-for-profit. So it'll be a really eye-opening conversation for us, I think. Mm-hmm. She'll offer a really interesting perspective on, you know, what it's like to frame human rights within a legal context. Okay. Which happens often, you know, there are such things as international human rights lawyers, but mm-hmm. I think in the context of the Bahamas, we often think of law as something that's very corporate, you know, having to deal with kind of land issues mm-hmm. or, you know, just things that aren't necessarily focused on human rights. So we're happy to have her offer an international perspective and talk to us about the work that she's doing in South Africa.
Absolutely. Let me stick a pin there and say, and mention that we do have the Eugene DePuch Law School Legal Aid Clinic, which of course is not a law firm doing pro bono or nonprofit work, right? But we do have the Eugene DePuch Law School Legal Aid Clinic for people who are seeking advice on how to move forward with a matter. And I want to say you're absolutely right. We don't have any dedicated not-for-profit or non-profit law firms in country, but we do have a number of law firms that take on cases pro bono from time to time, right? Like at no cost. So there are some firms that leave resources in the budget for that type of work, and we say thank you to them, but we do need far more resources than people have available to them right now. But I want to move quickly to the second event tomorrow evening, because this one, I think, you know, everybody should tune into this one. Healthcare Accessibility, Patient Navigation. And that's being led by Melissa Major, founder and lead navigator at MD Patient Navigation. I didn't realize this was a local practitioner and a local entity. Ms. Major was involved in the establishment of the National Cancer Registry and formulation of the National Cancer Control Panel. She will help at the event. She's going to help the audience to understand the importance of patient advocacy and dedicated support in navigating healthcare systems in the Bahamas.
Yeah, we are also looking forward to this one because, you know, as we know, we've been in a COVID pandemic for years now. And mm-hmm. I think that really highlighted some of the challenges of navigating the healthcare system. And so we're really looking forward to chatting with her. You know, she will be able to share with us her experience as a patient, both as a patient and as a practitioner, right? So mm-hmm. we're looking forward to that. I think it's always good to have someone speak from that level of lived experience. Mm-hmm. And we know that, you know, navigating the healthcare system in the Bahamas can be a challenge.
You know, without a doubt. Will this session be recorded?
Yes. So we're going to record all of the Zoom sessions, the live streams. We'll try and record those too. We upload most of our recordings on our YouTube page or our Facebook page.
Okay. Absolutely. You know, I have my personal experiences and we hear the stories all the time. And I know that there is a patient advocate office at Princess Margaret Hospital. I mean, I saw the sign 20 years ago. And so everybody tune into this one. I'm hoping that staff at PHA can tune into it. It's virtual, so you don't have to stop what you're doing. It'll be recorded. You don't have to tune into the live session, but I'm encouraging people to tune into this session and ask questions. Use the platform to submit your questions for consideration by the panel.
Yes.
All right. The next event on Wednesday, GBV Research Toward a Coordinated Care Model. Etwal Pinder, President of Sanagest International, a woman-owned consulting firm focused on social development projects across the globe. Tell us more about this, because Etoile is a Bahamian.
Yes, so we are, you know, really excited to have her on board for this conversation. The organization that she works at, so Sandages International, was actually contracted via the Inter-American Development Bank to conduct some research on determining the prevalence of gender-based violence in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that has come up again and again when we talk about gender-based violence and when we run this campaign is the lack of data.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really important to have data on what's happening so that people can understand how often this occurs and how much of a problem it really is. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we're continuing this theme of femicide,
mm-hmm.
Because it's important that we name it what it is. You know, femicide is defined as the intentional killing of women or girls as a result of their sex or gender. And we don't always think of it in that way, right? We see news articles about intimate partner violence, and, you know, we may not immediately recognize it as a form of femicide, but it is. And so it's really important that we get this data, and we're looking forward to hearing more from her about, you know, what that research process entailed and what she found.
Yep, absolutely. And let's fast forward Wednesday, December 6th at 6 p.m. You have another panel, Femicide, What's in a Word, with Megan Walker, retired executive director of the London Abused Women's Center. And I want to highlight that because although the theme of the global campaign this year is Unite, Invest to Prevent Violence Against Women and Girls, Equality Bahamas is continuing its focus on femicide in particular as a part of its campaign for Global 16 Days of Activism. I just wanted to read quickly. In 2021, around 45,000 women and girls worldwide were killed by their intimate partners or other family members. And this is just what's recorded, right? Recorded through formal court system. This means that on average, more than five women or girls are killed every hour by someone in their own family.
Yeah.
While 56% of all female homicides are committed by intimate partners or other family members, only 11% of all male homicides are perpetrated in the private sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for people who say, why are you focusing primarily on women and femicide, the killing of women, when we see that our men are dying in larger numbers? But the reason why women's advocates have this focus on women can be seen in that stat, right? More than five women or girls are killed every hour by someone in their own family. 56% of all female homicides are committed by intimate partners or other family members, but only 11% of all male homicides are perpetrated in the private sphere. That 56% and 11%, that's a large difference.
A huge difference. You know, and the theme of femicide was introduced in 2021 by the Center for Women's Global Leadership because it marked the 30th anniversary of the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we knew that femicides were increasing because of the pandemic, right? People were living in having to share smaller spaces and stay within those spaces with their abusers, right? And so we saw an increase around the world of intimate partner violence, you know, ethnic and indigenous related killings, domestic violence. And so it's really important for us to shine a light on this because it may seem like it's not happening, but it's happening every hour, every 10 minutes, right? Someone is being affected by this, and it's not okay. We have to do something about it. And so part of our work is to really raise awareness and advocate for change.
Mm-hmm. And I would say locally, while we are seeing an increase in male homicides, we're seeing an increase in what we presume to be gang-related and gun conflict-related male homicides. But at the same time, we've seen an increase in sexual violence towards women and girls and boys, right? We've seen an increase in sexual violence towards women and girls. And we've seen, I'm not sure if it's an increase, but we've seen a steady flow of female homicides that are related to either intimate partner violence or interpersonal conflict. Like, you want to be in a relationship with me, but I don't want to be in a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I just read the headline about the bus driver that was sentenced for 10 years after sexually harassing, sexually assaulting, attempting to rape, I believe raping, but they didn't charge him with it because it's probably far more difficult to prove than attempted rape, kidnapping three times.
Wow.
Right, kidnapping three times. The gentleman got only 10 years, and in his testimony, he attempts to convince the judge that he was in a relationship with the young lady, as if being in a relationship with the young lady would explain away, you know, all of the conflict. Oh, no, that's just how we, you know, that's how we mate. That's our courting dance. She runs away and I chase her with a hammer, right? So we see that while we can acknowledge that men are obviously victims of violence, the question is, are they experiencing the same type of violence and types of violence that women are experiencing and are succumbing to?
No, because at the root of femicide and violence against women and girls is misogyny, right? It's a hatred or prejudice against women. We also live within structures that have patriarchy built into them, mm-hmm. right? So we also often talk about structural violence, right? There are ways in which violence is excused.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it appropriate for him to even think that he could try and convince the judge of this, right?
Yeah.
It's because of those kinds of stereotypes and beliefs that women are property, or girls are property. They grow up belonging to their father and then they end up belonging to their husbands. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, there's a lot of unlearning that needs to happen. And that's why we have to continue to have these conversations. And, you know, we appreciate you always making space for us on your show, Aaron.
No, man, absolutely. And we'll say in the same way, I want people to know in the same way I make space for men and will make space for men if we're having the same conversation, which is how do we create an environment, right, where people can make healthier decisions, people can experience positive personal development, and people can do the things they want to do. And what I know with all certainty in my heart is that men and women want to live together in harmony. I know that. You know, you can't convince me otherwise. You know, I wanted to say that, you know, when we talk about, there were some things we talked about just now, when we talk about misogyny, right? Like, I think it's important for people to you know, take a moment to explore how misogyny can work, because sometimes the most balanced women supporting people can also perpetuate misogyny, you know, can also and can be unaware of the ways that they are perpetuating misogyny. And so when we say that people are misogynistic or people are perpetuating misogyny, we're not saying that people are horrible people. We're not saying that these people are just, they just don't like women and they want to destroy them. What we're saying is that we all have to be mindful and careful about the ways that we can intentionally and unintentionally perpetuate misogyny and maintain conditions in which women and girls and young boys are more susceptible to violence.
Mm-hmm.
And so go on, and then let's go into the next session on Tuesday, December the 5th.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I just wanted to say, you know, it's unlearning is a process. It's really a journey. Mm-hmm. Like it takes a lot of reflection, a lot of work, a lot of energy to do that. But I think one of the easiest ways to begin is just to ask yourself who benefits from this narrative, right? So in the case of the bus driver, who benefits from the narrative that he's trying to tell,
mm-hmm.
of, oh, we were in a relationship. Certainly she doesn't benefit from that, right? So you can kind of begin to think more critically about things just by asking that very simple question and working your way backwards to, okay, who is telling this story and why, you know? But let's get to the other session on Tuesday, the 5th.
All right, yes. And then I have a text to read. After we talk about that next session, I have a text to read. And then, producer, let's prepare for a break. And then when we get back from the break, we're going to finish off the calendar of events for Equality Bahamas. Take a quick look at the National Women's Week schedule of events. And then I got some rapid-fire questions for you. So on Tuesday, December 5th at 6 p.m., on the calendar of events for Equality Bahamas' 16 Days of Global Activism campaign is an event called Gender-Based Violence, Trauma, and Healing. And so when you said used the term unlearn, I thought, like, this is the place. Helen Clonaris, founder of Soul Healing Way, is a healing practitioner based in New Providence. Carla Moore is a life coach based in Jamaica, and Jessica Russell is a therapist based in Grand Bahama. In this conversation, Helen and Jessica will make clear, and Carla will make clear, the connections between trauma and gender-based violence. They will explain the effects of intergenerational trauma and the modalities for addressing trauma and moving toward healing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, go on.
No, so this one I think is really important because we, you know, often don't think of gender-based violence as trauma,
mm-hmm.
because it's happening so often, right? But mm-hmm. Each time this kind of violence is perpetrated against someone, it's another experience of trauma that they then have to process and try and heal from, and they are going to be doing that for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go on. We're excited to have them in conversation with each other.
Here's a question. Is this space open to men as well as women?
Yeah, all of our events are open to anyone who wants to join.
Absolutely. I'm throwing that in there because I believe put on the table, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not anywhere close to it. But as an advocate, I believe that a lot of the root of interpersonal conflict, intimate partner violence, and this sort of conflict between men and women is because we collectively as a society have not created or maintained or supported men in creating and maintaining spaces in which they can process trauma that they were unable to process as young boys and young men maturing into adulthood. And I think that a lot of men deserve, they require, they demand, without being able to say, a space in which they can safely process trauma in their past with women, the women who they've had the most intimate relationships with. Their mothers, their grandmothers, their primary female caretakers, their first girlfriends even, their first crushes even, right? And I think that this unprocessed space can explode into violence in the right or the wrong circumstances. And so I'm encouraging men to come out and hear about the ways that they can attend to their own healing collectively and individually.
Yes. So our events are always open to anyone who wants to join. We center women because of the disproportionate ways in which we're affected by gender-based violence, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, we welcome everyone to join who's interested in having a fruitful conversation and engaging with us in a way that's respectful to everyone who's in the room.
Yeah, but that's the primary, that's a primary rule, right? Mm-hmm. And it calls for people, because a lot of people who are drawn to these types of conversations are people who know that they have an issue, they have something that, you know, they want to resolve. And in that space, because we're so sort of overwhelmed by the resource, right, the people who are willing to talk, the information that's being shared, we forget that we're sharing the space with other people. You know, and we tend to open up and unfold, not realizing that we got to practice a little spatial awareness and remember that there are also other people in the room trying to do the same thing we're doing.
Yes, yeah. That's a good reminder.
And so now, Yoga Nidra on Thursday, December 7th?
Yes. So we are, you know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're really trying to make sure we also make space for, you know, decompressing, because it's difficult talking about these things. And so this session is a yoga session. I don't know if, you know, are you familiar with Yoga Nidra, Erin?
Not Yoga Nidra.
Okay.
But so, it says here that you, that Ms. Miller, Monique Miller, who's guiding the session, will guide us into deep relaxation through a conscious sleep. I know about that. You don't know about that? Our politicians know about that. They look like they're sleeping, but they say they're listening. Is that what we're doing?
So Yoga Nidra is a practice of yoga that is primarily focused on rest. So, you know, when you think of yoga, maybe you think of like certain poses.
Yeah.
No, Yoga Nidra is like you're completely on the floor. You're on a mat laying down. Mm-hmm. Your eyes are closed and your Yoga Nidra instructor kind of guides you through a meditation. So they might, you know, encourage you to imagine that you're in a field and you are, you know, like grounding yourself in the field. You mm-hmm. feel the grass, you feel the soil. So it's a very different kind of yoga, but it's very restful, very healing for the body. Often when you do it, you sleep better afterwards.
So are you recommending this for people who need to relax, not necessarily rest, but relax at work? Because I may just fall asleep and not make it back to my next shift. But anyway, you hear the music. I pushed it a little long. We got to go to the break. When we get back from the break, the last two events on the calendar, contact information, how do we register for the events? How do we participate in the events? And y'all even have a whole playlist for the week. Anyway, when we get back from the break, you guys, thanks for staying tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're On the Clock with Erin Green, and we'll be right back.
The holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas is...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
J. Joe bring any knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fool with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads, too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk. Joining me via Zoom today is Lauren Glinton from Equality Bahamas. And we're talking about, I mean, we spent a lot of time focusing on the events that they have planned for this year's 16 days of activism to eliminate violence against women. And that 16 days started on Saturday, the 25th of November. Another reminder that Sunday, the 26th of November, marked the beginning of National Women's Week with the anniversary of women's suffrage. Lauren.
Hey, Aaron.
Okay, good, good. You're back. I'm back. You're back. Okay, the last event on the calendar is Sunday, December 10th, which is Human Rights Day. And the title of that event is Palestine from 1948 to Now, and Falestine Dwikat, a queer feminist, community organizer, and a Palestine campaigner and advocate who's been involved in several movements and campaigns on a wide range of issues in Palestine, the MENA, M-E-N-A region, and globally. Palestine will bring the historical context to the genocide taking place in Palestine and provide guidance on building and maintaining global solidarity. I think it's going to be, and that's at 3 p.m. Again, you can go to tiny.cc/16days23 for the full list of events and all registration details and links to participate in the conversations. Lauren, I want to read briefly from Equality Bahamas' statement on the International Day to End Violence Against Women. And then I want us to just take a walk down. I'm not sure I sent you this list, but to take a walk down the week of events for National Women's Week. And maybe we could talk about the ways that your activities and those activities align. But here is the statement. Violence against women is rooted in harmful gender stereotypes and ideology. These are enforced and perpetuated by systems of patriarchy, colonialism, and capitalism, all of which must be challenged. The government of the Bahamas has the responsibility to protect, promote, and ensure access to women's human rights, and this must include investment in systems and programs to end violence against women. In 2018, the CEDAW Committee called on the government of the Bahamas to, among other actions, develop an action plan to end gender stereotyping, pass the gender-based violence bill, and implement the strategic plan to address gender-based violence. 5 years later, we note that the government has failed. We remind the government of the Bahamas of its human rights obligations and its commitment to women through the ratification of CEDAW. There must be no delay. There are no excuses. 30 years have passed since the ratification of CEDAW, and the next best time to invest in ending violence against women is now. It cannot wait. I just want to, something that popped out for me when reading that is the obligation to implement the strategic plan to address gender-based violence. And Lauren, I want to stick a pin here. There's something that I want to say. This is not coming from Equality Bahamas. It's coming from Erin Green. One of the reasons that I could say that the protest, the concerns raised about the passing of the Protection Against Violence Bill instead of the Gender-Based Violence Bill must be read like that. The Protection Against Violence Bill is not a revision, amendment, a reworking of the Gender-Based Violence Bill. It is not sufficient. And how do we know that? Because the government obligated itself to pass a gender-based violence bill and implement a strategic plan to address gender-based violence. Mm-hmm. I mean, it says it right there in their obligations. This attempt to convince us that the Protection Against Violence Bill can do the same thing that a gender-based violence bill can do needs a bit more work. Anyway, I just wanted to stick that pin there, Lauren. But that's a statement from Equality Bahamas on the International Day to End Violence Against Women. Now, some of the items on the schedule for National Women's Week, again, started yesterday, Sunday the 26th of November, ends Saturday the 2nd of December, one day after World AIDS Day. We see on the calendar last night, ZNS aired Womanish Ways, Freedom, Human Rights, and Democracy, the Women's Suffrage Movement in the Bahamas, 1948 to 1962 by Marion Bethel. Also at 9:10 p.m., they aired a documentary, Bahamian Women, 50 Years Later on ZNS. Now, part two of the documentary, Bahamian Women, 50 Years Later, will air on ZNS at 6 p.m. tomorrow night, and part three, that's Tuesday the 28th, and part three of the documentary, Bahamian Women, 50 Years Later, will air at 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon on Wednesday the 29th of November. I also want to acknowledge that they are providing or facilitating an event on Wednesday, the 29th of November from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. called Psychological First Aid for Caregivers. And Lauren, I know that this particular session, Psychological First Aid for Caregivers, aligns with the work that Equality Bahamas does with women's rights and climate change and post-disaster services.
Yes, so we also have quite a focus on climate justice because, mm-hmm. you know, all of these things are interrelated.
Yeah,
we're looking, you know, all of these different forms of oppression are interconnected. And so for us to really get to a place where everyone experiences a just life that mm-hmm. provides them access to the rights that they are, you know, inherently have a right to,
yeah.
we need to eliminate and rethink all of these systems, right?
Right.
So climate is definitely a part of that. We'll actually be chatting with some folks tomorrow about climate, the interconnections between climate justice and gender justice.
Okay.
That'll be another casual conversation on our Facebook. So tune in at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow for that if you're interested in this aspect of our work. But yes, absolutely. I mean, care work is often unpaid work. Yeah.
From first responders to caregivers, but in particular with caregivers, we think that that's just women's work. We don't ever
Correct.
Think that the people who give care to the elderly, to the bedridden, you know, that give care to kids in residential facilities, people, social workers that have to be present in the community and give care in that way, we don't ever think about the psychological impact for them. And we don't think about the psychological impact for the people who respond to domestic violence, that respond to intimate partner violence. And so that's a great event being put on by the government. They're also hosting CEDAW training for media personnel and social workers on Thursday, the 30th of November, 2023, in the Department of Physical Planning at Social Services Building. And then on Friday, the 1st, they're having an empowerment forum for women and girls under the theme Building a Better You, Generation Next, at Breezes Resort, Cable Beach, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's a full week of events and a full 16 days of events, and we're grateful to organizations like Equality Bahamas and Zonta and to the Department of Gender and Family Affairs for providing a spectrum of conversations, capacity building opportunities, and access to technical support for people doing this work and for people who are considering doing this work. But Lauren, before we go, I got a couple of texts here. We will run through them quickly. The text that just came in said, Aaron, if women are concerned about the environment, why are feminine hygiene products non-recyclable and there is no talk about making their products eco-friendly? This is a fascinating text, so much so the texter, I'm going to see if I could get the Dignified Girls Project in. And they focus primarily on providing support services and products for menstruating girls and women. But Texter, you say that as if women hold the sole right to produce these products. A question is, why aren't feminine hygiene producers doing that? Because what you'll find is that there are lots of smaller companies that are making environmentally friendlier products, without a doubt, but they aren't able to push through the mainstream. Also, did you all know that we have a Bahamian that makes feminine hygiene products in the Caribbean? It's not a woman. It's not a woman, and maybe that's why they're not available in the Bahamas. It was a great text full of things to interrogate. But Lauren, here's the text I really wanted to get to. We've got about a minute. This is a texter who was saying to me that we continue to focus only on women and not on men. It says, or we don't focus on women in the way that we focus on men. So here are the texts. Aaron, you guys keep quoting these big numbers that don't happen in this country. It is sending a false narrative in this country for personal and political gain. Well, they're texter. So maybe in a country like Nigeria, 100 women are killed a month. You're saying it's not worth talking about femicide and how many women are killed a month in the Bahamas because there's only one or two?
Well,
Is that what you're saying, Texter? I just want to get it correct. And another text, Aaron, the woman that kidnapped four boys and only got probation and said she was tempted because they were coming around her. She only got probation. Stop the bias. What bias, sir? We have a tremendous crisis in our healthcare space, eh? We don't take mental wellness, mental health care seriously in this place, do we? But ask yourself, are women alone responsible for the amount of resources allocated to institutions like Sandilands? Just ask yourself that. Also, another text quickly. Women grow up with trauma too, not only men. I know several women that constantly beat up the men they are with. Every relationship they in, physical fights. Well, it's a great thing that this space is open to men and women, particularly the session with Helen Klinaris on December the 5th at 6 p.m., right? In this conversation, Helen and Jessica and Carla will make clear the connections between trauma and gender-based violence. They will explain the effects of intergenerational trauma and the modalities for addressing trauma and moving toward healing. Remember, guys, you can register for Equality Bahamas events by going to tiny.cc/16days23 for the schedule, and then you'll find the individual registration links under each event. Ms. Clinton, thank you for joining me. I'm so sorry we don't have enough time for you to respond to those texts. It's been a wonderful show, and once again, we thank Equality Bahamas for doing their part. It's a small part, but we all have a small part to play in making the country a better country. You guys have a great day, and stay tuned for Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry.
Thank you, Erin.
Thank you very much.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.